This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Listen, we all want to be Alex Earl, right? Like every single one of us. She doesn't have a flaw and we all want to be her.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Daisy Rosario, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And yes, the rumors are true. I'm back, bitches! Back in, I don't want to say better than ever, but I'm back.
Yay!
It's been a while. Like, if y'all are listening to the show regularly, then it doesn't feel like that long, because the last time I was in the feed was like the week before last. But I actually haven't been behind the mic since mid-December. Which of course means that before we get into today's episode, I have to shout out the people who held down the fort in my absence. Obviously, Daisy Rosario, who's here with me, Daniel Schrader, Nadira Goff. I would not have felt okay leaving the show in anybody else's hands, and I'm so glad that y'all did this for me. And now the sappy shit's out of the way. We're here for what we really came for, which is for me to interrogate Daisy and ask her if she missed my Pillsbury Doughboy laugh.
I did. It was weird. It was weird to not hear your laugh for a while. Like, I was like, something's missing. I'm, what is it? And it was so many things, including updates about your cat, Masha, but I especially missed your laugh.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. Masha's doing great. You know, good. She threw up 3 times this morning for reasons that we don't know, but
classic
I just cleaned it up.
Masha.
Classic Masha. So I actually largely stayed offline during the past 3 weeks.
Bless.
And by stayed offline, I mean I stayed off Twitter because it's the app that causes me the most stress. I will not be talking about how much time I spent on TikTok or Tumblr over the past 3 weeks. But I feel like I have to ask, did I miss anything on Twitter? I saw something about Elon Musk on a Twitter poll. Is he still CEO or did that poll fire him? Like, what was that entire thing?
I wish I could say it was just an end of 2022 fever dream, but unfortunately it was reality. I mean, he lost the poll. He's still there.
Yeah, I saw that.
So even when he lost it, he was like, I will find a replacement by this time. And I don't remember what that time is because I don't expect him to actually stick to it. So yeah, kind of same old.
Man, I was really hoping that, you know, the commons would have driven him out like Julius Caesar. Like, I thought we were all gathering to stab Caesar, but apparently he had that poll. Did he think people were going to say yes? Did he think people were going to say, please stay?
What did he think was going to happen? I think he thought even more people would say, please stay. Yeah. I think, I mean, he continues to tweet like just a generally corny dude. Like, there's no other way to put it at this point. He tweets like a corny dude.
He does not have the spirit of a shit poster, and you can't have this job if you don't have the spirit of a shit poster.
It's true. Like, he wants to run the thing, but he also is not able to be as cool as many of the people who have best figured out how to use that service.
Yes. Like, he wishes he was Drill.
Yes, he really, really does. Oh my gosh.
Okay, one thing I did see, because my roommate made sure that I saw it, and that she was like, I sent this to you on Twitter, and then she's like, wait, no, I'm gonna text this to you because you have to see this, is a video supercut of all the Miss World contestants saying the name of their country.
Costa Rica! Croatia! Curaçao!
The most important part of this video is how Miss France decided to steal the show, is how I'm gonna say that.
El Salvador! Milan!
What? Wait a minute. What?
And it's just beautiful. Like,
yeah. Oh, that's a proper screech.
Like, Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for, I'm going to try and do it, France! Because today we're reaching deep into our mailbag for another edition of Read Receipts.
I want to see the receipts.
After a short break, we'll be answering all y'all's burning questions about Andrew Tate and Greta Thunberg. And we'll also be explaining what exactly CoreCore is.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The new Star series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and the Stars app.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
And we're back. I feel like I'm going to start with a question that actually broke through my self-imposed Twitter isolation.
Sure.
Which is Andrew Tate's downfall. Brought on by maybe the only famous teenager who isn't a Nepo baby. I also saw that discourse, which was whatever. But we're talking about Greta Thunberg, like the tiniest activist that will. We love her.
Yes. Oh, Greta.
Over on Tumblr, all the girlies universally celebrated this now infamous exchange between, I don't want to call him anything, the scum of the earth, Andrew Tate, and our queen, Greta Thunberg. If you somehow missed this, I'm going to assume you were also in a self-imposed internet sabbatical, and I would personally like to congratulate you for being much more successful than I was in doing that. But back to the drama. I'm slightly murky on the details. I've seen screenshots. Mm-hmm. I know that Tate was arrested on charges of rape and human trafficking, but like, when exactly did this start? Like, what was going on? What was in the air? Tell me.
I mean, it was a lot. It was a lot because dude just put it all out there himself, right? So on December 27th, Andrew Tate, who was only very recently unbanned from Twitter to begin with, decided to use his newfound tweeting privileges to tweet at Greta Thunberg, who I must remind everyone is a teenager. He tweeted, quote, "Please provide your email address so I can send a complete list of my car collection and their respective enormous emissions," end quote.
Why? Why? Were they talking before? Was there like a back and forth, or was this just how he just decided, he woke up?
He just decided to do that. He's somebody who thinks that people who are not thinking of him are thinking of him.
Okay, proceed. Proceed, yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
So Greta then responds with what is now the fourth most liked tweet of all time.
Wow.
And we got to get this quote completely correct. So she said, mm-hmm. quote, "Yes, please do enlighten me. Email me at smalldickenergy@getalife.com, end quote.
That's just beautiful. There's nothing I love more than a good comeback. And that one is just, it's perfect. It's perfect. I love her. Great job, Greta.
Oh, Greta, doing so much for all of us, really, right?
No, truly, like, not even just the jokes.
No.
More just than the jokes.
Climate activism. Yeah.
Yeah. She has more going for her than jokes.
Seriously. So then Tate responded with a video that we are not going to play because no one needs to hear this man's voice. But in the video, there was a pizza box. And apparently that pizza box comes from a pizza company that's local to Romania, where Tate was residing. This led to many people assuming that the pizza box confirming Tate's whereabouts was what led to his arrest 2 days later.
This is what I saw on Tumblr. There were so many posts that were just like, wow, who would have thought that Tate dunking on a teenager would be why he got arrested? I love this. But the way you said that makes me feel like it's not true.
Right.
I mean, are you going to burst my bubble? Are you going to?
Yeah.
On my first show back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I am. I know.
Okay, well.
Look, Greta remains undefeated, but the Romanian authorities have denied that the pizza box itself had anything to do with the arrest, right? They said that they've been investigating Andrew Tate's properties since April of 2022, and the entire thing was a coincidence. Greta, however, did respond to the arrest and the internet theories that she caused with it, saying, quote, "This is what happens when you don't recycle your pizza boxes."
Again. Beautiful work on her behalf. And because I feel like I rebuke the idea that the Romanian authorities, I rebuke that notion. I just think they don't want to share credit with our queen Greta. So
yes. And you know what? Either way, it doesn't change how great her comeback was. And like,
yeah, truly.
And the timing of it is still fantastic. Like, even if the pizza box itself didn't literally lead to it, like the timing of him being owned by her in that moment. Fantastic.
Absolutely beautiful. No one could ask for anything more. I'm glad that we started with a high point, I guess. I guess this is what counts as a high point now.
Something we can rally around. Yeah.
Yeah, something that makes everybody happy. It's, you know, something for everybody. Anyway, on to the next question, which comes from Lee Berlani, who emailed us a few days ago. "I ran up against people discussing the evolution of CoreCore on my FYP, but I don't even know what CoreCore is. I'm lost, totally. Please send help. Your day one fan, Lee." First, wow, a day one fan. Y'all have been through a lot. Thank you so much for sticking beside us as we go into our third year of this. I had to think about that for a minute.
I mean, I don't know what year it is on any given day anymore.
I mean, I'm just like, oh, we've been doing this for 6 months now. That's not true. So second, CoreCore, which is just the word core, like apple core, twice, is one of the purest distillations of the internet I've encountered since Goncharov, 1973.
Ooh, yeah.
So thank you, Lee, for bringing this into my life. I'm sorry to say by the end of this segment, the word core is not going to sound like a real word.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, before we get started, we must define the terms of this debate.
Right.
So CoreCore is a play on and a reference to the commonly used core modifier that's used to describe aesthetics. I actually think it emerged from music in that things were like hardcore rock
or
softcore, but it has been extended to like fashion aesthetics or people aesthetics. So think like cottagecore,
right,
or normcore, which I think was really one of the first cores. I also recently learned about gorpcore.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
like high-end normcore.
Yeah, which
like slightly
is not
expensive normcore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So CoreCore is what it sounds like, in that it's a core of other cores.
Okay.
Which it sounds absurd because it is. It's an absurdist trend, but ultimately I'm going to put on my thinking hat and suggest that it's a criticism of consumerism, which is all that any of the real quote-unquote real cores are. Like, if you think about it, most of these aesthetics are just ways for you to buy new things.
Yeah.
So there's evidence of the phrase CoreCore existing in Tumblr hashtags as far back as 2020. saying the phrase as far back as 2020 makes me want to die. But Korakora didn't fully distill into its current trend on niche talk, which is a side of TikTok we'll discuss at a later episode, until like this year, late last year, because we are in a new year. It's 2023. I forgot to. Don't worry.
Right.
So knower of all things, know your meme, places TikTok user at Mason Knoll as a kind of real pioneer of the aesthetic that would come to define Korakora. Importantly, Mason Knoll didn't tag the video I'm about to play as Korakora, suggesting that perhaps Korakora as a style existed before it was named.
Okay, the Arctic Sea is melting. It's like on a loop. Oh, a giant tree is being cut down. It's falling. Creepy, like Bo Burnham laugh. Is that a D'Amelio sister? American Psycho? That's definitely a D'Amelio. What is happening?
That was a great description of what happened in that video. Because I'm gonna be honest, these videos defy description. But how, if you have to describe it more than what you just said, how would you describe what you just saw, or maybe even the feeling it evoked in you?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a brief fever dream of what it feels like to be alive on any given day right now, I guess.
That's wow. That's beautiful. Yes. It does. It's like, oh, there's a D'Amelio sister. There's delogging. Also, I think there was an American Psycho clip in there somewhere.
There was.
Which apparently the Korakora people really enjoy.
Interesting.
So this is kind of a pioneer in the style of video editing. So these videos start kind of, you know, proliferating more between this video, which came out in 2021, and now, which is 2023 again. But it wasn't until July of 2022 that the video edit style and the phrase came together. Okay. Again, according to Know Your Meme, user Hexen Sabbat was the first to combine both the term Korakora and the aesthetic that we just described, which is this kind of chaotic splicing together of clips with some sad music under it. And this video from at Hexen Sabbat features clips from Taxi Driver, Family Guy, and Good Time.
Ugh, star of Goncharov, he looks great.
My man looks great.
What? Oh, okay. MMA and just like a TikTok dance in a what? Family Guy meets. No, this is. Oh, I like this cat though. What? I can't even describe it. Like, for someone who can sometimes speak very quickly, my mouth cannot keep up with the speed at which random stuff is happening in these videos.
It's really kind of just washes over you in a way that you're like, what did I just watch? And what does it mean? And why do I feel something? And also, what is it that I'm feeling?
Right.
Yeah. The description that it feels what being on the internet is, feels like in 2023 is very accurate. And I would like to say that I'm fully aware of the fact that I think I'm slightly too normy to really fully understand what's happening here, but nevertheless, I will persist.
Okay.
So this video happens in July 2022. So Korakora is now fully fledged with a name, a video aesthetic, and this kind of loose ethos, I would say, of anti-capitalism, anti-consumerism. I don't know if I quite want to say anti-toxic masculinity, but definitely engaging with a very specific form of masculinity.
Oh yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
So it takes off, and by takes off, I mean the hashtag now has almost 300 million views, which is like respectable. Yeah. So here's one of the most popular videos in that hashtag, which was made by @FlixSaga, which has over 2.1 million likes on it.
What do you want to do when you grow up?
Oh, I live in D.C. What does he want to do?
How much do you want to make?
It's a little boy being asked one of those like man on the street questions. Oh, the music's changing though. Oh. Now we're looking at a clip that feels like it's... Okay, what? We've got Blade Runner 2049. We've got old people in the casino.
This chicken has been living in the metaverse. This is what it looks like in the headset.
Honestly, the chicken line explains itself as best as it can. Black Friday. Like, what is happening?
The phrase, here's a chicken living in VR.
Yes.
The metaverse? We're going to post these TikToks on our Twitter account because I don't really think it's possible to understand them without seeing them.
Yeah, no, seriously, you have to look at these. My descriptions do no justice to these at all.
It's just, it's impossible to describe, and it kind of reminds me a bit of Dadaism in that it's,
yeah,
it strikes me as satirical and nonsensical, but designed both to be that way and to more than anything invoke strong emotions out of viewers. Like, yeah, it's not telling you what to feel, but it's telling you to feel something. And like I said, there's a lot of anti-capitalist, anti-consumer themes to them, but it's not a requirement of the genre because to me, it kind of feels like it's resisting being a genre. It's right, resisting being labeled or brandified. Like, you're not going to be able to sell ads on CoreCore. Like, it's not going to work.
It's not brand safe.
Barely going to be able to describe it in reporting on it.
Right.
Like, it almost resists commodification. And yeah, I think because of that, I'm a fan. I don't understand it, but I'm a fan. I like it. Keep being weird.
Yeah. No, I like what you said about Dadaism, because that really does, that feels right to me too, as somebody who, you know, loves art and knows less about that particular art movement. But I did study like experimental theater, and I always love absurdity and stuff like that. And it's definitely a commentary on now.
Yes. Yes.
But you have to watch them yourself. We cannot fully convey these at all.
Well, that is all the time we have for Niche Talk at the moment. After a short break, we're going to be back to our regularly scheduled program of explaining who exactly an influencer named Alex Earle is and why she's facing backlash.
Where to Be a Woman is the podcast celebrating the best of women's well-being. I'm Sophia Smith-Gaylor.
And I'm Saatchi Cole.
And we're on a quest to find out where in the world women are living their best lives.
We're hearing from some incredible women about what their countries are getting right.
And picking the best bits for our female fantasy land. Because you can't build it if you can't imagine it first. Where to Be a Woman from the BBC World Service.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hey y'all, if you love our podcast, then please consider subscribing to Slate Plus. When you subscribe to Slate Plus, you get no ads on any Slate podcasts, including your favorite one, in case you missed it. You will also be supporting the show. ICYMI would not be possible without the support of Slate Plus subscribers. You will also get bonus segments or episodes on shows like the award-winning recent season of Slow Burn, Amicus, Mom and Dad Are Fighting, The Waves, Big Mood, Little Mood, and you will also get unlimited reading on the Slate website, which means you get access to every single article and advice column on Slate without ever, ever, ever hitting the paywall. Just visit slate.com/ICYMI+ to sign up. That is slate.com/ICYMI+. And we're back with everyone's favorite topic, niche influencer drama. We've got a question asking who exactly Alex Earle is and why people are mad at her for supporting a Black-owned business. And yes, that is the sweet, sweet smell of unhinged discourse in the air. It's familiar, isn't it? Are you ready? You ready, Daisy?
I'm very ready. I actually genuinely needed you to come back to explain this one to me.
I'm so happy to do this for you. So Alex Earle is a 22-year-old influencer who has like skyrocketed to fame over the past month. And when I say skyrocketed, I mean she gained 1.7 million followers in a month, which is unprecedented growth.
That's for real. That's for real.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I wish we had that kind of growth.
So like what makes her so special though?
I don't know. I have some theories. She's okay. Blonde. That sure. Usually helps. She's conventionally attractive. Also usually helps.
Also helps.
And she used to date a baseball player who apparently really did her dirty. And there's nothing more relatable than a man doing you dirty, you know?
That's what I hear. Yes.
Like, no offense to Alex, which is spelled with an I, but I've been watching her videos, which all have over a million views on them. And yeah. She strikes me as kind of one of a dime a dozen blonde lifestyle influencers with the fascinatingly spelled common name.
Right.
That you see, like, when you scroll on TikTok for an hour. And that does not explain why she got so famous. And it's so unexplained why she got so famous that there's a whole genre of TikTok that's just talking about how she got famous.
We need to talk about Alex Earle. I am fed up.
My theory on Alex Earle and her insane overnight success. First, she gives off the old money vibe. Yes, she wears expensive things and has expensive things, but isn't into like the modern flex culture.
I feel like Alex Earle is for 20-something-year-olds what Charli D'Amelio was when she first started getting famous, for like 13, 14-year-olds.
But that is not why we're talking about Alex Earle. We're not talking about her rise to fame. We're talking about Alex Earle because with great fame comes great probability of people being mad at you. So yes. On December 27th, she posted a video about her top 2022 Amazon purchases. In case you couldn't tell, that is an ad. It says paid partnership on the video. Just want to get that out the way. It's an ad.
Let's go over my favorite Amazon purchases from 2022. Starting off strong with the powder puffers will make your makeup go on so much better, so much smoother. I've only been using this for like a little over a month and I've already seen tremendous hair growth. This light, I'm using it right now. I use it for like almost all my Instagram photos.
Yeah, this video to me seems innocuous besides like the Amazon corporate sponsorship.
Sure. Yeah, totally. Very, very common type of video online. Absolutely. Yeah.
But this one's wrong. This one's bad, what? Daisy. What? It's bad. It's bad. It's bad.
Why? What happened?
Well, because the thing about Alex Earle is, like a lot of popular influencers, especially on TikTok, once she recommends something, it immediately sells out. Like, I could not get my hands on CeraVe moisturizing face wash for months after one skincare influencer mentioned it, and I'm still pissed about it. Anyway, oh, so one of the things, yeah. I know, I was like, CeraVe is for the eczema girlies, stop it.
It really is, yeah.
So one of the things Alex mentions in this video when she talks about her hair is a product from Miel Organics, which is a hair care brand that is primarily marketed towards Black women. And it's also owned by a Black woman. Shout out Monique Rodriguez. I love to see you winning. I'm a nice. Fan of Miel Organics, and I'm not being paid to say that. Like, I've been using their products since I basically found out about them. Their deep awesome. Conditioner smells like heaven. It's wild. Anyway, I've used the product that Alex recommends, which is this hair strengthening rosemary and mint oil. It, again, smells incredible. I don't actually know if like hair growing oils work, but boy, do I use them.
Yeah.
So I've seen this product explode in popularity over the past year or so, to the point where even the white girlies like Alex are recommending it. So due to Alex's recommendation, because again, she's very popular now.
Yeah.
The rosemary oil is now basically sold out on Amazon, which I love that from my girl Monique.
Go Monique.
Truly. But some people don't feel the same because it's 2023. So some of, and I think it's a small sum, I want to be clear, some of Miel's original customers weren't so happy. First, understandably, because the product was sold out on Amazon, which, fair, but also stop buying it on Amazon and buy it directly from the website, which still has oil in stock. Maybe that's the lesson here. Yeah, no, it's just sold out on Amazon. It's available on Meal Organics' website.
Mm-hmm.
Do with that information what you will. Second, because they were worried, they being the original customers of Miele Organics, that Miele would pull a Shea Moisture, which is another hair care brand that was originally targeted mostly towards Black women, but is now, I don't want to say more inclusive, but like that's what they say they are, and change the formulas of their products to cater to a wider audience, which is a very common accusation levied against Shea Moisture. I don't think they've ever actually addressed this. I cannot say if their formula has changed. I cannot say if it was because they were sold to a larger company. Like, I cannot say what exactly happened, but there was a noted shift a lot of people felt in their products once they were bought by Unilever in, I believe, 2019.
Yeah.
And so what happens when small Black-owned businesses get popular with white people is that sometimes they, in trying to widen their audience, change the formula.
Right.
But the thing is, Miele Organics is still, like, Black-owned and still owned by, like, Monique. Like, she hasn't sold her business to anyone else. So I almost think it's unfair to assume that she would just change her products because she's suddenly blowing up.
Right. Yeah.
And I also just, like, this specific controversy of white people using products made for Black people, sometimes wrongly, sometimes rightly. Sometimes I actually don't give a shit is the thing. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
So I need to, what do you think of this?
I mean, I'm with you. I also, like, I get the frustration, right? Like, I was never really a user of Shea Moisture myself, but I know very much what it is like when something that finally works for me and was finally reliable then ceases to be. And I think that that hurts certain communities more than others because you're already a community that maybe things aren't made for as often, right? Like, it is interesting to me as someone who, you know, chose to embrace my natural hair, you know, probably about 5 years before the big chop trend got even bigger, like, to see also the proliferation of products that, like, aren't actually good for this hair that are trying to act like they are. So, or I think about the fact that, like, Black women have had the bodies that they've had for a long time, but it really wasn't until, like, the Kardashians helped popularize having hips, even if theirs were made by surgeons, like, you know, that they made pants for such a thing, right? So it's like, I'm just saying, like, I get the frustration that people live in, but, like, at the same time, I'm like, ultimately, I'm with you on, like, yo, put that money in Monique's pockets if she's been making a really actually awesome product. Like, great, we need more of that. I get where the fear is coming from, but maybe we don't need to put the fear discourse ahead of what's actually happening.
Yeah, it just feels, I think, extremely, like, preemptory. Like, nothing's happened yet. I mean, like, far be it from me to defend a white girl with 4 million followers who's definitely making more money than I am. But I just, there was no right way for her to go about this. Not to me. I still don't think she did anything wrong. But this is one of those situations where I can see every single option she could have taken, and every single one would have gotten her some kind of backlash, which is, that's one of them fake internet situations. Those don't exist in real life.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of understandable frustration in this combined with the fact that the internet in general makes it far too easy to react and kind of share what our fears are before it gets to the point where we actually need to be aware of those fears.
It's the feeling I have when I have my clinical anxiety, where I'm just like, I'm projecting, I'm borrowing trouble is how my mother says it. I'm just like, I don't need to be thinking that far ahead. Like, we haven't gotten there. When we get there, let's be mad, but we're not there yet. I really feel like the only real discourse there should be is about how many TikTok influencers are sponsored by Amazon, which is capital A, capital P, a problem. So many have Amazon storefronts. When did this happen? Like,
I don't know.
Like, I mean, so many.
They probably just learned it from, like, I don't know, BuzzFeed, honestly, right?
So true. You're so right.
Look at that. We just stumbled backwards into an episode for another day.
For another day. That's all I got. Welcome back to me.
Welcome back, Rachel.
Up.
All right, that is the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so please subscribe. It is the best way to never miss an episode, to never miss a mailbag episode. Please leave a rating and review in Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at ICYM_pod, which is also where you can theme us your questions like, what is CoreCore? And you can also always drop us a note at ICYMI@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader and Rachel Hampton with help from Sierra Spragley Ricks. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of audio. See you online.
Or in France. We're not there yet. Horse before the cart.
No.
That's the cart before the horse.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On Death, Sex, and Money, we feature interviews with you, our community of listeners, getting honest about uncomfortable things.
I developed an illness where it isn't safe for me to drive. A friend once said to me, sex is like air. You don't think about it until you're not getting enough. This is a similar sort of thing if you just replace sex with driving.
Listen to Death, Sex, and Money wherever you get podcasts.